Welcome to the show. I'm March Twisdale, producer and host of Focus On 2020. This year, we will learn together about Vashon Mori Island resources and resiliency, both natural and human. Thank you for tuning in to our island's own Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM KVSH. As I talk with fellow islander Siobhan McComb, zero waste consultant and sustainability educator. If you want to learn more after the interview, Siobhan has been asked to offer a class at the Land Trust as a fundraiser on Saturday, February 29th from 1 to 3 p.m. Or, of course, you can visit Siobhan's website, oneglassjar.com. For now, enjoy the interview. Trying to figure out what to do with your waste is a question I don't think any of us have our own unique personal answers for. We just have like a societal answer, which is sign up for the trash company. They come take your 32-gallon, container. And that's like it.
Yeah.
So today, everyone, we are going to be talking about so much stuff. It's amazing. So we're just going to zoom through these sort of topics and questions because in a way, I don't know, what are we doing? We're cracking the door open on a big, beautiful, giant,
huge landscape.
There you go.
Huge landscape.
Okay. So one thing that I think most of us feel really sort of struggling with is that we just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a sense that waste is generated by this larger system that we live and participate in. But we don't have control over it, so we can't escape it. What can you say to that?
Well, what I can say is that when you start looking at living zero waste, you start looking at the waste that you personally create, and you start figuring out where it's coming from so that you can ultimately have less waste going out the door of your home. And it helps you to think about where that waste is coming from, where you can keep it coming in your door by just refusing a lot of the options that are out there, like food packaging and freebies from, seminars and workshops where people are giving you lots of little cute little flashlights that are plastic and pencils.
Actually a good point because, if you go to out into the world and someone's like, here, would you like this? Well, that's not something you were personally looking for. So it's pretty easy to say no. Actually, I'm that type of person. I'm like, I don't want to go home with anything. Mm-hmm. No.
You're rare, actually.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like, yeah, that. So, but the problem is I want shampoo or I want to wash my dishes.
Yes.
So there's all these things that we want. I want a pair of shoes, right?
Yeah.
And the shoes come in a box, come in a bag, whatever. And, of course, for all of us who live here on the island and we don't want to spend a bunch of money, gasoline and ferry fees, going to a store off island to buy one item, what do? We hit up Amazon. Mm-hmm. And so now I've got my one specific item that I exactly wanted and it's inside of packaging.
Yeah.
So really, I think it makes sense that people feel like they're sort of trapped. And your class will address this.
Yeah, and we are unique because we are isolated and we don't have shoe repair on the island anymore and we don't have some of the basic things that we would like to take advantage of. And so when we do plan a trip off island, for me personally, I plan as many things as I can possibly get done in the time frame that I have.
Oh, yeah.
And if I can do it on the bus, it's even better. I pick things that are close to the ferry in West Seattle or close to the ferry in Tacoma so that maybe I could ride my bike or, that's never going to happen, but I can dream. But, I can drive my electric car there because it's not way over another part of town and I can do my round. But I think with Amazon, they are working on things. They are working on some packaging choices. That are making it so that you can ask for more sustainable packaging. But doing things like trying to find it in a thrift store, trying to ask your community.
Exactly. I think so. Let's go to there because you were talking earlier and it was amazing the list of tools you started to sort of like just sort of randomly say off. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't quite think that way. Mm-hmm. So yes, everybody, you're going to want to go to this class if you can attend on February 29th, right near the end of the farmer's market at the Land Trust building. That's a Saturday from 1 to 3. If you can go, it's going to be your best source of information. But right now, we're going to sort of drop a few ideas out there. So what are some of these tools that people can start to think about that replace the idea of buying?
So there are a lot of things you can look at. You can look at seeing if somebody in your community has one, like I said, if it's a specific tool for a job at your house, or you need to borrow a certain size baking pan because you're doing something at some potluck and you need to feed 20 people. Who has a giant 20? Who has three lasagna pans? I don't have
right.
three lasagna pans. So borrowing them from your community,
right.
Seeing if someone has one that they're willing to give away if you feel like you need three lasagna pans in your life. And then seeing maybe you can find one at a thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can't, do you really need three lasagna pans? Can you make something that doesn't take lasagna pans? Can you make
right.
a giant salad? Can you make beans and rice? Can you alter that? And if you can't, you've obligated yourself to those lasagnas,
mm-hmm.
then finding out how you can buy one,
mm-hmm.
meaning at a thrift store or having to buy one at, Amazon. Unfortunately.
So this ties into what we were talking about earlier, which is that interestingly, people tend to look at doing things in a zero waste way as this is going to make life harder for me.
Yes.
How did I word it earlier? I was thinking like the convenience is going to go away. The easiness is going to go away. I'm going to have to remember a bunch of stuff.
It's expensive.
It's going to be, okay, someone might think it's going to be expensive. It's going to be hard. And so we have all these expectations about something that we haven't actually done.
Mm-hmm.
And I have those expectations. You're here because I'm struggling with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely relate to everyone else who's thinking that way. And then you brought up some stuff earlier in our pre-chat about how actually zero waste can be a very sort of a positive, frugal, money-saving way of living as well, that there's mm-hmm. that positive benefit to the economics.
Yes.
So in a way, what you're telling me is that you think of buying or spending that dollar as the last option, and you feel like you have this whole toolkit of other ways to get your needs met before you have to go spend the money.
Yes, absolutely. There's a way in which thinking about how you're going to spend your money ultimately, like, I have to buy those lasagna pans, but I don't know that you could get a sustainable lasagna pan. I don't know. So if you have to buy something, to be mm-hmm. thinking about where your money's going to go. Are you going to buy one that's made in America, or are you going to buy one that's made in China?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to buy something that's ceramic, that if you drop it and break it, it's actually trash?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to buy one that is made of steel or metal of some sort that if you drop it, it's not going to break?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, and
or
if
aluminum, which
aluminum,
is bad for the environment,
which is bad
I
for
think.
The, yeah,
and you can't really use it more often than a couple of
times.
Yeah,
the disposable ones.
Right.
There is no such thing as disposable. Just so you know, it always goes to somebody's backyard. It may not be yours.
Right. It's
but
trash.
Yeah, it's trash once again. The metal option of, okay, I'm going to find one that's made in America. It's metal, so that when that thing is done with its useful life, where is that going to go?
Either
someone else's kitchen, or if you manage to run over it with your car by accident and you can't use it, it ends up in the recycling. That's where it goes. So thinking
right.
about when
the
things,
metal recycling.
Exactly.
Literally.
It goes in the metal recycling.
Where they really do recycling.
Where they really do. It's not wishful recycling. It's
right.
real recycling. And so thinking about when something comes into your home also, what is its useful life? And when it's done with its useful life, where does it go?
Mm-hmm.
Is it trash, or is it recyclable, or is it compostable?
There's some companies out there right now that have been doing a lot of pushes through like Facebook and other advertising mediums and stuff. And so they're like, you know, waste free for household products.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that they will, you know, like you can use whatever bottle you want, or if you want, you can get like one bottle from us, which is like
mm-hmm.
your permanent use this bottle forever bottle. And then it's all about refilling.
Mm-hmm.
And then the refills are sent to you in like milk cartons.
Yes.
And so those are presumably more compostable or
they're
more
recyclable
because
we have an infrastructure that actually somewhat already recycles milk boxes,
right.
milk cartons.
Right. And it's paper compared to recycling
plastic.
Yeah,
it's plastic lined paper, but they do have a separation process. There is some waste in that. But there is a saying in the zero waste community that reuse is the new recycle. Mm-hmm, refill is the new recycle, because we can't recycle our way out of the problem we're in right now. We would have to be recycling way more than the 9% of all the plastics that get recycled. Only 9% of those billions and billions of bottles are getting recycled, or
so
containers.
So what you're saying is that human behavior is to throw most things in the trash,
yes,
not in recycling, or there is no recycling infrastructure where you live.
Because there isn't any longer, really, for plastics. I mean,
really?
There's a limited. Yeah, it's very limited in the United States. There are places in the United States that they don't even have recycling any longer.
I've heard Florida doesn't have any recycling.
No, there's. I know for a fact a town in Oregon, 2 weeks after China shut the doors into plastics recycling in 2017, they came along and collected the recycling bins because they weren't going to be doing recycling anymore.
Right.
They're done. All of it. Glass, metal, plastic, everything.
And all of us, I think, feel stuck in the middle of systems beyond our control.
Yes.
So speak to what's going on very concretely right now with the whole China recycling. Just let people know what's going on, because some people might be like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So China shut their doors to the United States shipping over their recyclables in mid-September of 2017.
Okay.
So the reason that they did that is because we are not good at recycling. Our recycling is completely contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
They had a 10% threshold, and they were still taking stuff that was way above the 10% threshold of stuff being contaminated. They were getting medical waste into their recycling. They were getting all sorts of dirty recycling.
Right.
So what they said is, we are tired
of peanut butter jar that still has peanut butter in it.
Yeah, or people filling a jar with their syringes from doing, from diabetics, filling a plastic bottle and sticking it in the recycling. They were getting things that were endangering their environment and their population.
Right.
And it finally became to a tipping point where China said, okay, we're done. And it's not like they didn't warn the recycling industry in the United States. They'd known for quite a few years that these doors were going to be shutting.
Mm-hmm.
But the recycling industry in this country didn't spend the time or the money to try and build an infrastructure to handle our own plastic
or
recycling.
Or really to address the cultural behaviors. I mean,
yeah, but that would address consumerism.
Well, not necessarily. It's about cleanliness of your recycling. Like, I have a friend who is very appropriately neurotic about her recycling.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything gets washed and cleaned before it goes in her recycling. Yeah. Somebody's all turned to like, no, gotta wash it. Oh, I'm sorry, right? And for me, if I have a small jar, from peanut butter or something like that, and it's a plastic one, which is really hard to get the peanut butter oils out of that.
Yeah.
Somebody's all sit there and go, okay, I'm going to spend a lot of water, fuel to heat the water, to get hot enough, and the soap to try to cut through this. And I don't even know if it's going to get recycled in the end. So I'll put it in my trash to save on the water and the heating.
And it's a very, very valid way to think, because then you're using a water resource.
Well, and that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, we're sort of stuck in the middle,
Mm-hmm.
And so, so Japan, for example, I would imagine if China was in the position of taking recycling from Japan, and I don't know if they are, they probably still are, because the Japanese have been culturally really encouraged to respect doing a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, you go, they have like 9 different bins for their recycling.
Yes.
Things are so meticulous.
Most of the world
down.
Does not commingle. The United States commingles, and that's kind of the death of actually having really good recycling, is the commingling. And commingling is the one bin.
Right.
That we all know, it all goes in one big bin over there at the transfer station. If we were sorting like the rest of the world,
right,
it would be, people would be more receptive to accepting our waste.
What's interesting is that they used to separate.
Yes.
And I was shocked and horrified. So here on Vashon, you had the round circles. Everyone would come up, and little birds would fly around above you, because they had little nests with their babies up there. And you would throw in, you know, your paper here, and your cardboard was even separate from other paper and the plow, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there was a separation. And then at one point, they're like, oh, no, we're just going. They've got nice machines to take care of it at the back end. And I'm like, really? Okay. I don't have no choice. I guess it must be true. But I was shocked at the idea of commingling personally.
Yeah, well, it damages the sellability of the paper because the paper mm-hmm. will get glass in it. And the food drippings will get on the paper. And then, and so...
So why did we do this?
I think ultimately what I was told by... I have a friend who used to be in the recycling industry, and she told me it's because people weren't recycling. We were making it too difficult.
Yeah, okay. Once again, it goes back to sort of American culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether we're willing to be responsible for our waste.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, ultimately, what we have to do is we have to stop producing the amount of stuff that is either wishful recycling, is what I call all the plastic yogurt containers and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop producing those. We have to stop having those go into the waste stream. And that's part of what zero waste is about. Mm-hmm. Is figuring out, do you really need that bag of potato chips? Do you really need the yogurt? Do you really need the margarine? Do you really need that vegan sour cream that comes in a plastic tub?
But I would say the answer is yes to all of those things. I don't think Americans are going to say, I'll stop eating potato chips, or I don't want cream
cheese. Maybe I'm the odd person. I don't do those anymore. Just because of the fact that they are in plastic bags and tubs, like nobody knows this, that potato chip bags are 7 layers of plastic.
That's weird.
Sandwiched together. So there's no way, and that's 7 different kinds of plastic. There's no way that is ever going to be able to be recycled.
Right.
And so it's thinking about, okay, so for me, and what I talk about is, what are our choices here?
Mm-hmm.
Our choices are to either non-participation in that, and to let companies know why we're not participating, because all of a sudden our dollars are gone and they don't understand why.
Right.
Or to continue as business as usual. And business as usual is not getting us anywhere right now.
Is it true that in the industry they're trying to come up with basically compostable containers for things that people like to buy?
Yes, they have the compostable the ones like they have they're the clear plastic and they say they're compostable.
Right.
The thing with those is that those are not backyard compostable, and those are high intensity commercial compostable only.
Okay, right.
Those have to go to a composting facility, a commercial composting facility. You can't throw, and also,
they're technically compostable, but they'll never compost in the system that we have provided for them.
Yeah, unless it goes off to a commercial facility like Cedar Grove or something like that. But if that straw, that compostable straw, ends up in the waterways, it acts just as though it's a plastic straw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't, it's not compostable in the ocean. So we're going to, I think what it has to come down to is that people really do have to realize that there has to be a shift in which the way we do things.
By a change in the way we live.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's hard for a lot of people. I know it's hard. I think it's hard for majority of the population.
The irony is that we actually change the way we live constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we don't perceive it as hard because it's being sold to us.
Yes, exactly.
So life is so different right now from when it was when I was a kid.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm 48. I was born in 72. So, but life was also different 80s and the 90s. Yeah. So it's constantly changing. And so really it's about our attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are sold a change and we're really excited about it because we believe it's going to make our life better, then we just naturally put the energy in. We embrace it. We adjust. We adapt and we live differently.
Yes.
And we sit around and say, oh, aren't we lucky? Isn't this great? You know, my little cell phone just makes my life so much better, or whatever it is that we're excited about. And so the question is, how is it presented? It sounds like your class, which is coming up, is going to empower islanders who know that they want to do something about this, but they're not quite sure how to do it. They feel like it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But in more than that, it's going to also inspire them in that way that we're talking about, to start seeing that a new and different way can actually be exciting and better rather than scary or bad.
Absolutely. There becomes a place where you feel a little empowered and you feel a little bit like you are stepping outside of the consumer
paradigm
where you're entering more of a circular economy where things are getting used and used and used, and less and less and less is going into the trash can or going into the recycling can or
or whatever. Repeat owned.
Being repeat owned.
Like, exactly. You must love it on Vashon because we've got the tool library and things like that.
It's amazing.
I traveled to, so my son and I traveled October 12th of 2018, got home basically 4th of July of 2019. I was not gone the whole time, but he was. And one of the places we went was Australia. And it was interesting because in us, so you have all these cities and they talk about plastic bags. And so you'll have plastic water bottles. There's all these sort of like target, you know, topics.
Those are the pinnacles
areas.
Of waste.
Yeah. They'll be like, all right, well, let's get rid of the straws. Let's get rid of this, that. And they're just trying. Mm-hmm. So I went down to Australia and I went into a grocery store and I didn't bring a bag with me because I was traveling.
Yes.
And I was literally like en route from one place to another and just didn't have anything like that because I traveled very, very light actually. Mm-hmm. And I walked in and there were no bags. Yeah. And like, oh yeah, well this just happened, you know, like 6 weeks ago because I guess the grocery stores in Australia, there were like two main chains that were dominant. Mm-hmm. And they said, we don't need to worry about competition. If we make changes, no one can compete with us. So these two chains said, we're not doing bags anymore at all, period. Not paper, not plastic, no nothing. Mm-hmm. You want your groceries, bring your own bag. But what we will do is the cardboard boxes that produce and stuff that shows up, they just shove it at the front of the store.
Yeah.
And you walk in, there's a giant pile of boxes there. And if you want, you can use a box. Otherwise, bring your own bag. Mm-hmm. So rather than waiting on the legislature, you know, waiting on politicians who are oftentimes vulnerable to who's going to fund their next campaign, instead of waiting on that or even for public agreement, they just did it. What ideas are out there that are successful that you might suggest we think about adopting?
So Zero Waste Washington has been working with legislators to try and create a statewide plastic bag tax, grocery bag tax, to eliminate, basically you'd have to pay 5 cents to get a plastic grocery bag or a paper grocery bag. Because I do know that grocery store chains in Washington State and in other states across the country are frustrated because one municipality like Kirkland will have a fee. And then another town, you know, like Bellevue won't have one. And then another one won't have any bags allowed at all. And it's too hard as an industry for them to know what's going on. It creates a whole bunch of extra work and expense for them. And they're kind of getting on board, which is amazing.
Yeah.
When you think about the plastic bag industry or just the plastics industry and what their lobbyists looks like, that they're actually, the grocery stores are saying, well, we're seeing that this is happening. So we want there to be some kind of uniformity. So Zero Waste Washington is doing really great legislative work with that. They're also doing work with the food handlers and the health board about making it, they're rewriting some of those so that maybe eventually here in the near future, we can bring our own containers to meat counters and deli counters.
Right.
So we won't be having those plastic bags that our meat comes in or the food trays, the polystyrene food trays that we have to take to the Kimco building once a month, you know, because, you know, someone helps us out by hauling that stuff away through Vashon Zero Waste. And, you know, being able to eliminate some of that would be really great. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of the people who have been involved in Seattle, Zero Waste Seattle and other Zero Waste communities in Washington have helped. And even just people who do Zero Waste. Made their voices known about how much this is important to them because there are stores you go into in Seattle, you can't even get taken a mason jar to get it filled with peanut butter. It's against their rules.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Or you can't take a cloth sack to a bulk department and fill it up with almonds because that's against their policy. You can use it in the produce department, but not their bulk department. It would be nice if there was some uniformity.
Right.
Because it's very difficult as it can be very difficult as a zero waste advocate to go out into the world and be like, no, plastic bags. You know,
and
it's
difficult. Could bring, and you know, and then if you were bringing your plastic bags from home that you had rinsed out, they wouldn't know that you weren't using their brand new ones. So you could like, you know, you could pretty much go into any store, pull it out of your little bag and start using it. And no one's going to realize that. But some people don't want to use plastic at all. They want to, you know, use paper or cloth, like you say, or whatever. Interesting. Okay. All righty then. So let's see here. One thing you said earlier that you wanted sort of everyone to take a moment to think about was the idea, and I think you've touched on it just very briefly, is that zero waste as a concept is more of a starting point for a person's than an end point. It's sort of, it's not like the goal is to just not throw any trash out.
Yes.
What you're saying is that the thought process that surrounds the idea of zero waste opens doors to a whole bunch of other areas of thought.
Yeah, we called it earlier like the landscape. It's like a doorway to a giant landscape of ideas.
And so what are some of the things that people are going to find once they choose to open that door?
Some of the things that you find is that there's a way in which you become just more, there's a more of an empathetic way of living where when you start thinking about waste and you start thinking about where your waste is going to go, we all think about the oceans and the turtle with the straw up the nose and, you know, in the garbage patch
and the birds with their belly and the birds' bellies
and
full
the fish,
of trash.
The whales, you know, washing up on the beaches completely have died because their stomachs are full of trash.
Right.
So you think about all of that. And what you start thinking about is that my trash impacts way more than just my trash can.
Right.
So you start thinking about, okay, if I'm spending those dollars, if I'm going to go buy something, where is that money going? Am I going to support an organization that, you know, it's one of the things that I talk about is that if you're going to buy chocolate, you know, there's slave-free chocolate because of the slavery industry and the unethical behavior of the chocolate lobby, the chocolate industry, where are you going to get your chocolate from? So you start thinking about workers.
A lot of us worry about that.
Yeah, you start thinking about workers.
Coffee,
tea, all those things. You start you start realizing that every purchase that you make impacts something. Like if you're going to buy a new article of clothing and you happen to have seen the documentary True Cost, you don't ever want to step inside of one of those fast fashion industries ever again. Because you start realizing that every purchase and every dollar that you spend and everywhere in which you're reaching out into another community and affecting them, you start realizing you got to scale that back.
Well, money is literally power, and I don't that as in the people who have the money have
it
the power.
It is absolutely.
No. It's like money. I've had this conversation with people before where, especially young people, you know, I'm like, look, you know, money is essentially energy waiting to be activated. So when, you know, when you get that $10 bill in your pocket, right? What you now have is you have energy that you can access. You can access the energy of someone who's going to work on your property for an hour and help mow your lawn. You can access the energy of the barista to make that coffee you want. You know, but money, the reason we don't sit around and just sort of like, you know, frame money. You know, we don't like, we don't pet it. We don't rub it against our cheek. We don't, you know, we don't kiss it. We don't, enjoy looking at. We don't even look at it. We live on digital money nowadays, right? Because money is absolutely nothing until it's used.
Yeah.
And when you use it, it's like you're casting a spell. It's like power has just happened.
I always say it's like a vote.
That too.
You are voting with your dollars,
right,
as to how you want the world to be. That's ultimately what you're doing, because that dollar bill doesn't just go to the barista. It goes to the person who owns, if it's a corporate barista, it goes it goes to that corporate machine, and then it goes to, let's say it's coffee, it goes to the coffee buyer, it goes to the coffee broker, then it goes to the person who hauls the coffee, then it goes to the, and you know, it goes way down, and then the coffee maker, coffee grower gets 12 cents a pound. You know, they get, and you know, maybe,
and the corporation system says you just voted to support
that,
how
that
we're
I'm
going to
support
this.
How this, oh, this coffee from this place in Ethiopia, you enjoy how this is brought to you, which means all the way down to the stuff that's sprayed on the coffee.
It's all justified.
It's all justified.
Yeah, and you've just legitimized it.
Exactly. And that's, it's a, when you break it down into that, it's an incredibly powerful tool that every single person potentially has. Not everybody has the same amount of the potential.
Right.
But we all potentially have that voting power.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people in Vashon get it because the whole buy local idea.
Yes.
You know, I can say, hey, I'm going to go to Costco and buy a whole bunch of stuff at Costco and come home and say, like, after the ferry fee, oh, I was going to go off island anyways, therefore, and look at me, you know, I saved $43 over what it would cost me to buy the same stuff at a local store.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's even a local to the state and to the county region. Costco's local in that way. But, you know, when you don't go to Kronos to get a beautiful, you know, set of earrings or a beautiful candle or something fun and you buy it elsewhere, you're skipping the opportunity to actually support a real person who lives right here in
the
neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, just not shopping at Thriftway. They pay very well. They're island jobs.
Yep.
They have health insurance.
I think they're unionized too.
Yeah, it's all the things that
we would want.
That the majority of people that I know would want.
Right.
And you're supporting that. But it is difficult because not everybody has the same amount of money, you know, and so trying to make it so that you can vote with that dollar bill in a way that works for you and your mindset. If Amazon and 100% Costco shopping is what you want to do, then you know, that's great for you. And for me personally, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I have my mental landscape is way bigger of where I want that power to go. And it does become a rabbit hole when you start thinking about all the layers and you can't even buy a chocolate bar without worrying about 12-year-old slave labor in the Ivory Coast. That does become troublesome, but as you weed your way through that stuff, you find places that you feel good about your money going.
And if someone says, okay, you know, my kid is turning 16 and I always promised I would get him a smartphone when he turned 16, you're going to spend time and energy looking into, you know, what are the best phones? What phones are going to give me parental controls? Do I want these apps? You know, what phone is going to give me the best whatever? So you'll put all this time and energy into researching that change in your life because you perceive that it is necessary and beneficial, and therefore it's worth the time to figure out how to do it well.
So
it's like, okay, it's necessary and beneficial for me to maximize my capacity for buying local, knowing that if I can't buy local, that's okay too, but to do it when I can.
Yeah.
And then you put the time and energy into figuring out what that is.
Yeah.
Because in your mind, in the back of your mind, it matters to support your community.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And if that means you have less pairs of shoes, 10 pair less of pants, because you're gonna buy something locally if you want something new. Yeah, it's okay not to have 16 pairs of jeans. You know, it really is okay.
Or you can skip all that concern and go to Luna Bella or go to the local Granny's.
Yeah, go to Granny's. You can do that. If you don't like to thrift and you don't want to buy used clothing, that's great too. But just to think about where you're spending your dollars.
Oh, yeah. I remember going to Target once because my younger son was very hard to buy clothes for. It was literally a once-a-year endurance contest between the two of us to see if we could survive the once-a-year trip to Target. He just didn't like trying clothes on. He didn't care. And so I was like, you just get one pair of pants you like, one shirt you're willing to wear. I will buy three copies of those exact items, and we'll walk out, and you got three identical outfits to wear for the whole year, and it would make him happy. So, I mean, it's like it was funny, and then we would be there. And I would start noticing prices. And here's like a sweater that was made in New Zealand sometimes or Australia or somewhere. And it was $12. And I'm like, how on earth could this be $12 if it was made so far away and shipped over here? And it just made me uncomfortable trying to figure out, how did you get to that low price?
Yeah.
How did that even happen?
And sometimes you have to do that. Like, some people have kids that grow so fast that there's nothing at Granny's and there's nothing
at
Luna Bella.
Male clothing can be hard to find in the used environment.
It's very difficult because men and boys wear their stuff until it's threadbare. There, you know, there is not much left.
True.
You know, and that is a struggle. And mm-hmm. I admit, I have shopped at Target recently because it was so difficult for me to find stuff used mm-hmm. for my son. Mm-hmm. And I have to rationalize
right
the age
with of that. About 10 or 11.
Oh, yeah.
It evaporates. Mm-hmm. You know, there's tons of little kid clothes.
Yeah. Well, he's turning 12. And the same thing happened with my daughter, who is going to be 14. And around the same time is that mm-hmm. it was almost impossible to find stuff that was used. And so, you know, being on a budget, it does make it difficult. And you have to sometimes make those choices. But for me, my brain goes through, okay, well, I'm not buying anything new. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I try to do as little new for my husband. Mm-hmm. Our whole house is all used.
Right.
I buy unpackaged. And so I have to do that sometimes.
But let's imagine, so that's that benefit side, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you look at grannies, there's mm-hmm. so many beautiful things there that are good for the kitchen.
And I want all of them.
I know, right? It could be a dangerous place to go.
Very dangerous.
But, you know, it's like you can go to a Sears or something and you can get, you know, a matching set of something for, you know, $500. Or you can just go to Granny's mm-hmm. and have a kaleidoscope of really incredibly beautiful dishware that your whole family can enjoy that you bought it all for $30.
Yes.
Now, what do you do with that $470 you have left over in your pocket? Goodness gracious, all sorts mm-hmm. of stuff with that. Mm-hmm. So it's funny.
Experiences. I mean,
yes.
That's a huge part
instead of
zero waste. Is instead of things, you do experiences. You know, that $470 could be, you know, could be like a
river rafting trip.
It could be a river rafting trip. It could be a trip, you know, to go build houses in Mexico or even go volunteer with Habitat or make a donation to an organization.
Right.
You know, that you're like, okay, well, I mean, not many of us are in the position to just throw $500 at an organization. But if you happen to be in that, that's great mm-hmm. because you're helping your community. But even the $30 you spend at Granny's goes into your community.
Or you hire someone to come in and clean your house.
Oh,
you know,
oh,
for 25
please.
Bucks an hour. Which,
thank you.
You know,
I would love that.
Right? Yeah. They get a good wage.
Yeah,
you get
exactly.
a clean house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So when we're looking at this, we're also looking at it as a true concrete beneficial change. It's not just, oh, I'm going to go ahead and do things better because I should.
New Year's resolution.
I know. And, you know, then, oh, well, aren't you using, you know, it's like looking down at other people. I mean, that's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is really about how can I make my life better and the world better at the same time? And it's actually achievable. You have a real dent, a real impact.
Mm-hmm. It does. And then your friend's circle and your family circle, hopefully, begins to see what you're doing, you know, and it does tend to filter out a little bit, you know. You have friends that are like, I have friends that are making, you know, choices that are different than it was, you know, not that long ago. I mean, I've mm-hmm. been doing these zero waste talks for 8 years now, and, you know, it's interesting to see some of my friends who have and some haven't.
Right.
You know, it's they come to my house and they're like, where's the Saran wrap? And I'm like, I haven't had any in 17 years. Where is this? I don't own
right,
any, you know.
Right.
So
let's talk about a couple of concrete details.
Okay.
You mentioned, for example, the beeswax. So I think it's mm-hmm. the same thing I have. I think
beeswax wraps.
And I'm pretty sure we were going to try to meet with them. We didn't make it happen. I think it's a company based in Australia mm-hmm. or New Zealand, one or the other. But yes, it's those colored ones like a turquoise.
Yeah, it's just a flat piece of muslin, organic cotton.
I love those. They mm-hmm. work so well.
Yeah.
But when people pull out that roll of Saran wrap and whip it out and use it once and throw it away, they probably feel like there's like a sanitary aspect to that.
Yes.
And the beeswax wraps, which I'm thrilled with and use all the time, mm-hmm. they don't come out brand new and get tossed. You know, there's all that.
Yeah, they're really not disposable.
There is that, especially the generation that we grew up with, you know, the mm-hmm. bleach generation, the, you know, Mr. Clean generation, mm-hmm. the sterilize everything generation. So tell us a little bit about some of the tools you use on a daily basis and how you feel that there's no question about them being healthy for you.
So talking about the beeswax wraps, I've had a set of beeswax wraps going on 9 years.
Same They're still
set,
working?
The same set. Yes. They don't last the 2 years that the websites all say.
They last longer.
They last way longer. Right. I can attest to that.
Let's explain it real quick.
Okay, so yeah,
use it.
So it's in lieu of Saran wrap. What it is a sheet of muslin organic cotton that has been submerged and penetrated with a combination of beeswax and tree resin. Mm-hmm. So it's like a waxy, pliable piece of cloth.
Mm-hmm.
They come in various sizes, various fabrics, depending on who makes them. And you use them in lieu of Saran wrap. What it is let's imagine you've got a tray of lasagna and you lay this sheet of impregnated wax muslin over the top and you use the heat of your hands mm-hmm. to kind of ply and melt and hold around the edges and the handles of the lasagna in lieu of Saran wrap, and it will protect it because it is beeswax. It's water vapor and scent, you know, barrier. So you're not going to have lasagna mm-hmm. that tastes like the chocolate cake, or the chocolate cake is not going to taste like lasagna,
right?
If you have them in the fridge together. And then when you're done using it, you can wash it off in your sink in lukewarm water with whatever type of soap that you use next to your sink.
I don't even use soap on mine.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm not engaging with like an oil-based product.
So, and you're not wrapping raw meat in it either.
Right. I'm not. Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, but usually it's over the top. Like, you know, Saran wrap, oftentimes you don't really want that in contact with your food either. You're just looking for the air barrier, right?
Because it has a nasty taste.
Yeah. And so, you know, you take like about 10 seconds for it to warm up in your hands.
Yeah.
You lay it over the top. You go fold. It's sort of like origami almost on the mm-hmm. corners.
Yeah.
And because it's been warmed up, it just sticks to itself.
It does. And then it will stick to the surface. Of
exactly
what you're sticking to, like a Pyrex pan or a
yeah.
jar or a bowl. And it's,
so instead
it's a
box after box after box of thin plastic
that
gets
is not
thrown in the trash,
not
that
recyclable.
Can never be recycled.
Yeah,
you have just
you have something
nice
you can reuse
collection.
And reuse and reuse. And
right.
those are really great. I also use for lasagna, I'll stick a cookie sheet over the top of my lasagna
yeah.
pan. You know, old school, very old school
yeah.
grandma style.
Of course.
But I use those, and then when I'm out and about, I carry mm-hmm. A insulated mug, like a coffee mug, that can either be used for cold beverages when it's hot or hot beverages when it's cold outside.
Right.
I usually carry a water bottle insulated too. Sometimes I do both duties with them. I carry in my purse a napkin, like mm-hmm. a cloth napkin, and I have
a handkerchief.
Like a handkerchief. You can use a handkerchief
yep.
too.
Right.
And I use it for when I want to get a pastry. I don't ask for a bag. I ask them to just place it in my hand. I've got the napkin laid over my hand. They look at me like I'm crazy train
mm-hmm.
come in. But eventually they get that I just want it and it's going to be okay.
Then right.
They, you know, put it on the napkin. It's really going to be okay. and then I can wrap it up and I've got my little to-go bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can also place it on the countertop where I choose to eat it. And it's I don't have to have a clean countertop.
Right, so it serves as either your plate
or a tablecloth,
or it serves as your little well, that's what I mean, like the
oh yeah,
plate,
yeah, plate,
yeah, on the
yeah.
table, or it serves as your carry away
yes.
packaging,
yeah, yeah, and I can use it as a napkin or a handkerchief,
right,
and then I carry a little spork, a collapsible titanium spork, in a little bag in my purse, and those things make it so that I am pretty much ready for anything. Like if I go to a coffee shop, I will ask for a here mug. Which
right,
is,
and you said even Starbucks does
Starbucks
this.
Has
okay,
there.
So Liz, yeah. so guys, all right, for that day when you weren't planning to get coffee and you left your beautiful, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I have like these really nice, what are they?
Like an
reusable
steel
mugs that I actually
insulated.
Bought at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, look at me. I have one for me, one for my husband. And because he goes to coffee shop every morning. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, honey, so look, we're not going to be using paper cups anymore. This will be great. And then, of course, you forget it. Right? Now, at Coffee Luna, it's no big deal because they have lots of mugs readily available. But if you're out in the world and you go by a Starbucks, you feel like, oh, I have no choice. Turns out, guys, they've been hiding this from you. Okay, go ahead, share.
So most Starbucks locations, unless it's like a Starbucks kiosk, which
mm-hmm.
are those little places that are in like Safeway and stuff over
right.
there on the mainland, you know, they have porcelain mugs. And you can ask them if you have an extra few minutes, get your coffee for here. They may look at you a little kooky, but you just say, you know, the porcelain mugs that you have, they're not for purchase.
Mm-hmm.
They're for drinking while you're there. And they give you a little saucer, and you feel very like it's high tea. You're getting an actual cup of coffee.
Right.
And you can sit and enjoy your coffee. Taking 5 minutes, 10 minutes to actually like mellow out and experience drinking a cup of coffee.
And you said that they call them a here mug.
Yeah, I'd like a mug for here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it isn't always first translated in their brain what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But once you say, the little porcelain mugs that I can have for here, they will go dig them out of the back of the cupboard
because
that's often where they are. And then you just return it to them at the barista station when you're done drinking.
Right.
It's a great workaround.
Because those paper cups.
They're plastic lined.
Right. And I still, I think in the back of my mind, I sort of knew that might be true. But in the front of my mind, I'm thinking no one's going to pour steaming hot liquids into a plastic liner that's a thin plastic lining on a paper cup, because then you're going to the plastic will somehow get into your drink and you'll consume it. But apparently I'm wrong and that does actually happen.
Yeah, it is plastic lined. There was a company that we used to have called Tully's in Seattle, and they actually had compostable mugs, which meant they didn't have that type of plastic. They had a compostable, corn-based plastic liner inside.
But they still also had a plastic.
Yeah, but it was that corn plastic. It's that bioplastic like they have at Thriftway in the deli, in the olives. They have, the compostable containers. I think it was the same lining, but it is compostable commercially.
Only commercially, though.
You can't do those containers at Thriftway or the compostable mugs in your backyard, but they can take them to the transfer station with the yard waste, and they'll get taken over to Cedar Grove and ground up and then broken down, and then we can buy it back and put it on our gardens.
But, it's like what it really boils down to for all of us who are concerned about our impact on the planet, who want to walk gently on the planet, is that, well, I guess basically probably 50% or more of our impact is actually dictated by simply our buying choices. Mm-hmm. And then there's probably a large percent, 25% of our impact on the world is going to be transportation. And the other 25%, I'm guessing at, would be maybe how you heat your house or how you live. So I don't know those percentages exactly, but I'm getting the sense every time we decide to spend money to buy something, what we buy, how we buy it, and what waste we generate, that is a huge part of being,
carbon neutral or
carbon neutral.
Your carbon footprint.
We're buying our way into or out of catastrophic climate collapse.
Yeah. And when you do a climate calculator, often you find them online and they really do cover some of the basic topics. It's the one that's kind of really come to the forefront is, what do you eat? Are you a vegetarian? Do you eat meat, primarily beef? Do you dry your clothes?
Right.
What is your gas mileage on your car? How many miles do you drive? Do you fly? There are a few other questions, but those are the ones, the really big ones that are pretty consistent. And so if you think about those things, they don't really talk about packaging of foods, and there's a huge carbon footprint with all the fossil fuels that go into making all those plastic containers.
It's like, there's a Trader Joe's thing. What's going on with Trader Joe's right now? Because there's a big push for them to stop selling so much plastic, because they basically were we're going to plastic wrap everything.
All their produce was in little plastic trays, covered in
and they're making an effort to change this.
They're trying to eliminate all of their extraneous the packaging that isn't really necessary. But you're not going to be buying cheese at Trader Joe's with a cheesemonger.
Right.
You're not going to be, getting things not wrapped in plastic in the frozen food aisle. I don't see the dynamic change happening in those convenience areas happening very quickly. When I go to Trader Joe's, I can buy 3 things. And that's it. If you're going to not have any plastic, there are 3 things in the entire store.
Olive oil?
It has plastic top on the inside of the bottle for the olive oil to be poured out.
Yeah.
So, and it's non-recyclable because it's under 3 inches. Everything that goes in your recycling bin should be 3 inches, like a cap.
Right.
Like a water bottle shouldn't have a cap on it. Nothing should have a cap on
it.
Yeah,
I always throw the caps in the trash.
I know.
I'm always like, nah, I don't think that's going to be recyclable.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it is, it's a struggle. I mean, there are, you know, if you even go in the grocery store and you go, okay, I am going to shop without plastic.
Oh, good luck.
You can do the bulk aisle.
Right.
You can do produce, but you better not buy organic because all of the things in the organic aisle are wrapped in organic tape.
Right.
So people can't pass it off as non-organic, and that's why they do that.
Right, right.
So you can't, if you're going to go completely plastic free, there you can't buy nut milks, you can't buy soy milk, you can't, because those are TerraPaks and they're plastic lined on the outside and inside. You can't buy a glass bottle of milk because the top is plastic. You can't buy a jug of milk because it's plastic lined. I mean, it's...
Well, but once again,
you have to pick and choose.
Right. And so this is the challenge. And and so like you said earlier, you know, do you really need the yogurt? And I'm like, yeah, actually, there's a lot of good reasons for why a lot of people are going to want to continue to have yogurt. Well, but what I used to do was I would go get the milk at the local dairy and it happened to be raw milk. And I would come home and I would mix it with my starter yogurt, throw it in the mason jars in the oven, make my own yogurt. And that was really beautiful to do.
I used to do the same thing.
Take a lot of time.
No, it doesn't.
Quite easy, very healthy yogurt. But it's a shift. It's a change in your habits.
Absolute
it's an
shift.
Alteration in how you choose to live.
Yeah.
And
it takes planning.
Yeah.
And I know that's a huge part for people is the planning, because we are so used to things being immediately ready and available to
us. And also... it's not just a habit of wanting things like that. It's the fact that the entire system that we're living in is a pressure cooker system. And especially in the United States of America, the culture we have here is there's so much pressure to be like doing more, go, accomplish, achieve, endless. And for people who haven't had a chance to travel out of this culture, it's hard to actually understand just how much it doesn't exist in some other places. Now, I found Australia to be very much like America. I did not enjoy my time in Australia.
It never used to be. I was there in the 80s and it wasn't.
Right now, it very much feels like that. So when I was in France, I remember being like, everyone's just sitting around eating all the time. Like, you know, people took naps in the middle of the day. I witnessed adults who were in the middle of their career lives with teenage children, these who owned homes. These are not people who were like wealth class, and they're not people who are retired, you know. I mean, and they would just, like, they just had time. Yeah. I was like, where do you get this time from?
Unfortunately, my mother spent a lot of time in Spain, and thus I've spent some time. And what's happening in Spain, who is always famous for the siesta.
Right.
They're losing the siesta.
Wow.
They can't have the siesta. If you're not familiar with what it is that they work in the morning and then they take a 2 or 3 hour break in the middle of the day to go have lunch and take a nap.
Right.
And then they return to work. In order for them to be part of the world economy, they can't have a 3 hour break in the middle of the day and then go out to dinner. And I'm not joking. They're having dinner at 11 o'clock at night.
It's true. It's so true. They're getting home at 1.
Enjoyment of your life is disappearing because there is that pressure cooker.
And in a way, zero waste is one of the, is part of minimalism.
Yes, it is zero definitely waste. Part of that.
You know, there's that woman who's got a Netflix show now, some Asian lady who comes in.
And oh, Marie Kondo?
Does this bring you joy?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think we're like, we've been the food industry, for example, makes money by shoving as much low quality food through our mouths and through our bodies as they can. If they can get us to eat more Oreos and more potato chips, they're going to make more money. And they don't care if we're fat, have diabetes, and die early. It's like literally just shove it through them and make your buck. And it's so this whole system is ready for a revamp.
It is ready for a revamp. And changing the way in which you shop and the changing in the way in which you look at what you're doing and how you're behaving in the consumer society makes a huge difference, because then you start stepping away from that going, okay, what do I really need out of this? Do I really need, I mean, yeah, Oreos are great, but there's a huge problem with those cookies
mm-hmm.
because oh, the all palm, the plastic packaging, the palm oil, the cocoa, the sugar, right. and we're not just talking physiologically; those all have economic issues
and environmental issues.
Like,
you know, oh, I'm going to donate to this, you know, agency that's going to go try to save the orangutans.
Yeah.
But I'm going to buy all palm the stuff oil. Over here that has palm oil. Yeah. Palm oil is everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, just stop buying the palm oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even sustainable palm oil.
Oh, yeah. I don't buy that.
I just watched the second season of the series Rotten
mm-hmm.
on Netflix. They mm-hmm. just had the whole second series. Can't buy anything is what I feel like. It's very overwhelming.
But then you look around Vashon and there's these beautiful local,
yeah.
you know, creators of delicious food in
yes.
the area.
Yeah.
And when you buy it from them, you're supporting literally a person whose face you see,
yep.
the name you know, and you're going to see them.
And there's that, what is
town.
It, when you buy locally, you're not supporting a corporate payout. You're
yeah.
supporting dance lessons and
right. mortgages.
Baseball teams and mortgages
yeah.
and... You know, it's just making better choices
and
with
then,
that
yeah.
dollar bill.
Exactly.
And how you want that dollar bill to represent who you are.
The power of money through intentional consumerism.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Zero waste.
Zero waste.
So let's remind everybody really quick, because sadly we are out of time. Everyone, you've been listening to Focus On. Here on Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM. My name is March Twisdale. I'm your host, and I have been talking today with Siobhan McComb. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
And everyone, you can get together with Siobhan on February 29th, that is a Saturday, at the Land Trust Building from 1 to 3 p.m., just as the farmer's market is coming to a close. Just head on over. It is, as you said, a fundraiser for who exactly?
Vashon Land Trust.
All
awesome. The ticket proceeds that are available at Brown Paper Tickets.
Excellent.
Yeah. And if you want to get in contact with me, I'm at oneglassjar.com.
I hope you'll make a point of tuning in at 1 p.m. on Talk Tuesdays, or look me up under the Shows tab of voiceofvashon.org and check in each month as I tour the island, uncovering important resources, discussing how to preserve them, and of course, there are all those fascinating surprises where I least expect to find them. I will bring them all here and share them with you. My name is March Twisdale, your host of Focus On 2020, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Fonzie! D.Y. Sabes que ya llevo un rato mirándote. Tengo que bailar contigo hoy. Chihuá. Vi que tu mirada ya estaba llamándome. Muéstrame el camino que yo